Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. This is still David. O Yahweh, quicken me according to your judgments. So we need to be quickened according to his judgments too. Now, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Rejoice at your word as one that finds a great spoil. So he tells us to rejoice at his word. It's like we found a great spoil. Another place it says, my word is judgment. His word is judgment too. I hate and abhor lying, but your Torah do I love. Now this is the one. Seven times a day do I hallelujah, right? Rejoice you because, this is you rejoice to Yahweh, because of your righteous judgments, right? And so I know I fall short on that one. But it is still scripture. And it's something that I have come across before. And it, I've, at various times I've remembered that. And it's blessed me. Because the significance of his judgment. Sometimes when you've been judged, you don't remember things like that. It comes heavily on your heart. Great shalom have they which love your Torah, and nothing shall offend them. That's the perfect man. When he become perfect, right? We're all attaining towards that perfect man, where nothing offends us. Right? So we've got to get that shalom. Right? Is there something to do with rejoicing at his judgments? Yahweh, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. So we see that's what David said about. There's one other I'll come to just now. All right. Now, in Proverbs, in Meshulam, wisdom dwells with prudence and finds out knowledge of witty inventions. And the fear of Yahweh is to hate evil and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. Right. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So, by Yahweh they rule, right? I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. That's what I was getting to, right? See, he leads us through all that in the ways of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, right? So, his paths are what, pathways are judgment, right? Because in the midst of it is judgment, right? That I might cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will find their treasures. Right? So he wants us to inherit substance. What? Faith, emunah, right? Not gold, not silver of this earth, but his richness. He is rich. He is the one that he wants us to know. I read earlier, we must boast in this. That we know him, right? Not that we are wise in our own, but we know him, Abba Yahweh and Yahshua, right? And he's the mighty one. He's the wise one. He's the one with wisdom and all the things that we need. We go to Him for it. It comes from Abba Yahweh. All right. Now, we come back to David, right? In the Psalms. Blessed is the valiant warrior, the mighty warrior, the one that's mighty man of Yahweh, right? That stands, who's strong, right? Who knows his strength. Now, he knows his strength is from Abba Yahweh. It's not his own ability. David knew that. Now, there is a valiant warrior, that a mighty man, that doesn't trust in Abba Yahweh. He's still a Geba man. This is a Gebar man, right? Whom you chasten. Now, he chastens one of these men, these mighty men. So, he chastens, right? Oh, Yah, and teach him out of your Torah, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But, this is the line, judgment shall return to righteousness. This is what this whole piece is of, only by judgment. No other way can we return to righteousness but by judgment. That's the beautiful thing about judgment. It lets you know that you're wrong. You're on the way. It lets you know exactly where you are. It tells you you're on the way to hell, right? That you are on the wrong path. You are, sure enough, need some correction. You are out of the way. You got 1 foot in the pit of hell, right? And you need to straighten up, right? So judgment, it can be brought by a man of Yahweh. It can be brought by different ways. Yahweh uses different things to bring about judgment. There are ways He does bring about judgment. But primarily, it's His Word. His Word will bring judgment. He has solicitors, He has pastors, He has teachers, He has different men will stand up and talk judgment. You're right, you're wrong. You're either right or wrong. Judgment brings about a clear, you're right or wrong. No gray in between, black or, it's black or white. Now, He says, warn the righteous, warn the wicked. So you warn both. Now, if you are righteous and you know that you're okay in this judgment, you're in the way. Good. You know exactly you're on path. You know you're on the way. It's a comfort to you as well as the wicked who turns. Ah, I'm out the way. I got to turn. I know I'm heading down the wrong way. So it brings me right back to that line, that plummet line, that standard of Yahweh's Word. It's what it does. It's supposed to bring us right back to that Word, that standard, a perfect straight line. And there's no, He don't change. So we should know exactly where that line is. And it's a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing to understand judgment. And then once we get to understand it, we should be able to rejoice and start to receive it and not fight it. Because it's not. Do you think it's just for Yahweh's good? No. It is intended for our good. You see, His thoughts towards us are tov. And so when He brings about judgment, His thoughts are tov towards us. And He brings about, judgment is a hammer. It's whack. You got to whack hard and it's going to be sore. It's like when you're getting a whooping. That's whooping for children today. They don't get them. And that's not in this world today. But there are those, a few, that do get them still. And it's intended to tear him up till he breaks and he cries, until there's a sure enough weeping and a sorrowfulness that says, no, I'm not going to do this again. He brings about this severe, and it a true judgment, it cuts right into you, and a severe judgment, it actually brings about a work within you. It's done for me. Right? Unless you harden your heart and become like a stone. Judgment is beneficial. A tremendous benefit. And Yahweh wants us to judge. He wants us to judge. But He wants us to do a just judgment. Right? Balanced judgment. And he hated those Yardims for their unjust judgment. He called them hypocrites because they judged the people more severely than they judged themselves. They had one judgment for the people and another for themselves. And Yahweh and Yahshua, that was one of the things he really got on them about severely. He didn't allow them to. He didn't suffer that one, and he got so angry. The one brought out is that he made a whip. Can you make, you know, Yahshua HaMashiach, right? The Lamb of Yahweh, right? The Son of Yahweh. Take a whip, right? Angry, vehemently angry, and he whipped them and he turned their tables over. I mean, literally, you think, no one of us has really seen a whoop, right? A true whoop, right? It's usually made out of leather, and it's usually about, from about here to that air conditioner, long, little stick about that size. And when you take that thing and you flick it, boy, that thing's a crack. And if it's right over your ear, it'll deafen you for a moment, for a little while, because that thing, and then if someone can use that whip right, and crack it, that whip that comes around and it'll cut you back. It is sure enough, it'll hurt. So he went in there with his whip, and he, bah! Can we picture that? That he was that angry. He made it. The scriptures talk about him. He platted the whip, right? And that's what you do. You plait a whip, right? And it sure enough, it is. It's no lightweight thing either. A whip is usually a leather rope about 3/4 inch round. And it puts some weight, it puts some sting to you. All right. Wasn't that judgment? That was a severe judgment, right? Letting them know exactly where they stood. Yahshua didn't play around. All right. Who shall rise up against me? No, sorry. Who shall rise up for me against the evildoer? Or who shall stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless Yahweh had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt there in silence. You see, we need Yahweh. All right. Now, the book of Ezra, or some people know it as the Esdras, the second book of Esdras, is a very significant book. It is a tremendous book, the first two chapters, because he speaks here, and it's to do with this feast, because it's the same spirit as Yokohana. Yokohana came in the spirit of Elijah, right? Or Elijah, right? And so does this have the same kind of warning, right? Do we understand what Elijah did? What was the kind of spirit that Elijah had upon him? Right? Because this period of time has this kind of judgment. Elijah had to deal with Ahab and Jezebel and the house of Israel. The very first major thing, he comes out and he builds himself an altar, and he restores the altar, and he tells all the people, he says, right, choose this day, right? Same thing on the day what Yokohana was doing. He says, he might not have said it in the same words, but it was a day of judgment that Yokohana was doing, and he was telling the people to repent. And he had two types of people that he was dealing with. Elijah dealt with Ahab, the house of Israel, and then the religious spirit of Ahab and Jezebel. The interesting thing about Ahab, I was talking to Deacon Benny the other day about it. It is a very prevalent spirit today. We don't realize that Yahweh hated Ahab. He never said, "I hated Jezebel." He talked about Ahab, how he hated Ahab because he allowed Jezebel to do what he was. Ahab did not rule Jezebel. And so that was what Yahweh hated Ahab for. And it was right in the beginning of time as well. A weak man, because that's what Ahab was. He was not a man of strength. He did not rule the woman, because right in the beginning, it's the first commandment that Yahweh gave Adam to rule Eve because of the transgression. Right? He laid it right down in the beginning. That was the first commandment that he gave, issued Adam. And the same thing is in that time, that Ahab should have ruled Jezebel. And so we have Elijah come and deal with this spirit of that time and the people. And he says, "This day, come choose who you're going to serve." And so he brings about this tremendous judgment. And the people were in this, they couldn't answer. The scripture says they could not answer. Elijah. And so we know the story of he makes the false prophets do their thing. They cut themselves, the prophets of Lord and Baal, because that's what Baal means, Lord. And they all try to get their thing to burn. Then Elijah poured all this water, and they said, "Go and tell the people to pour as much water as you basically wanted to put on there, and drown the thing completely with water." And then said, "All right, now I will call upon Yahweh." And he said, "Yahweh." He didn't say Lord. He didn't use any of those pagan titles. He called upon his name, and Yahweh come down and consumed it. And the fire licked up the water. It licked up everything. And Yahweh was well pleased with that. Right? So we have this judgment that Yahweh showed them who was pleased. It was an act of judgment because they knew right away who was Yahweh, whose side they should be on, and they were able to make a decision. And they got on those that received it got on his side. He slew all the prophets, the pseudo-prophets. He slew them all. He then ran from Jezebel, right? Because she's got power now. But we have to have Yahweh to counter that religious, because it's a religious spirit. And he dealt with them accordingly. Yahohana did the same thing. If we look at the parallel again, right, of the renewed covenant, that time he when the people come there, they chose, right? They followed them. They had those that repented of their sins. They knew that this was Yahweh, and they saw the fruit of it. Then we had these men come, and there's Pelasgians and these Pharisees and Sadducees, and they come to debate. They come down there, and he said, "You generation of vipers." He didn't mince around with them. He treated them different. Now, he preached a hard message to the sinner, but it wasn't like the ones when he dealt with them. He, sure enough, he caught them. He let them know who they were, but they still rejected them. They didn't receive him. And he told us, "There's one coming that's mightier than me." He told us about Yahshua HaMashiach. The one. And he said, I must decrease and he must increase. He handed over and he knew his place. He knew who he was, and he led us to Yahshua HaMashiach. So, this day is very significant in the renewed covenant. It's the beginning of the renewed covenant. 10 days. There was a 10-day period after all this that Yahshua told, go and wait for me 10 days. All right. I know it wasn't at this time of the year. And then he poured, he had a mighty outpouring of the Ruah. But it was 10 days. Same sort of number as today. But we got 10 days. A time of introspection. A time of self-searching. To examine ourselves. Question ourselves. See, are we in the Muna? And we need to grow by. And then turn from our ways. Ezra, I'm going to come back to the moment in Ezra. Because if you can read this, it's these two first chapters of it. And in the fourth verse, and the word of Yahweh came to me saying, go your way and show my people their sinful deeds and their children their wickedness, which they have done against me, that's Abba Yahweh, and that they may tell their children's children, because the sins of their father are increased in them, and they have forgotten me and have offered to strange gods. Now, this goes on in these two chapters. And it talks about the Moed, right? And it's a beautiful thing because Yahweh here tells them, look here, I've rejected Israel. The people, Israel. Not the spiritual house, but the natural house of Israel. This Ezra was written before the time of Yahshua, right? And so already he said, I'm rejecting you people, right? And they are going to be a people, he talks about it here, that are not a people, not my people, but they will receive and believe what I tell them, yet without seeing me, right? And that's without seeing Yahshua. There are those that saw Yahshua and they fell away. They didn't believe. Because it wasn't, and only 12 of the Cilicians, and then there was 120 approximately on the day of, and that was because he restored them, and then he did mighty wonderful things in that period of time. And then eventually he got them to there was 500. After the day he went up to the Shemayims in the clouds, there was all those, only 120 approximately left. Great falling away again. So, yeah, they are at different stages, they've been falling away. We got to watch ourselves so that we don't become part of the falling away. There's, in this day, a great, and there has been a great falling away. And what causes it? The lack of judgment. Because judgment brings us back to righteousness, to Him. So, Ezra here speaks this word in this feast. A judgment, a time of judgment. And then tells about the new people, the people that are born again. That he's going to have a people, right, that are from the Gentiles. And they will believe. All right. Now, we go on. The Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, right? And let me read this. When I said, my foot slips, your mercy, O Yahweh, held me up. Now this is a continuation of Psalm 94, right? Where I left off just now, right? He's saying here, this is mercy here. This time is a day of mercy. Because we're undeserving of His pardon. We don't deserve it for what we have done. Even from the day we've been saved, from His first day, the shortcomings we have, and His tremendous pardon towards us. Oh, Yahweh, held me up, right? This is David talking. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, you comfort delights my soul. Your comfort, Yahweh's comfort, delights my soul. Right. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? With frames say, which frames mischief by a statute. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But Yahweh is my defense. My sovereign ruler is the rock of my refuge. Right? And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, Yahweh, our Abba, shall cut them off. Right? So, the main thing I was looking at here when I first looked at this was, this is a time of mercy. Right? If we but believe, right, otherwise he's going to cut us off. Right? We don't believe in Yahshua. Believe in him and believe on him for what he's doing. Right? He kind of cut it off. Right? He cut off the whole house of the natural house of Israel. He got rid of them because they rejected him. He said, "You are of your father the devil." I mean, that's pretty severe judgment now. It's letting you know exactly which house you are. But they wouldn't believe him. They still didn't believe him. The whole book of Yahuchana, he lays it down to them the whole way through. In some way, that book, it deals with them at various times. And he puts them down. He cuts them up. Right? Right. Now, other testimonies of Yahuchana concerning Yahshua. Right? In the book of here. The next day, Yahuchana sees Yahshua coming to him. This is the Day of Atonement, right? And said, "Behold the Lamb of Yahweh, which take away the sins of the world." Right? So, when I spoke last time about this, I showed you how that Yahuchana was preaching and Yahshua came to him at this time. This, to fulfill scripture, had to be at this time. He was alive for 3.5 years. That's what his ministry was for 3.5 years, right? He was cut off in the middle of it. And this is he of whom I said, "After me comes a man which is preferred before me." So, Yahshua was preferred before Yahuchana. "For he was before me, and he knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And Yahuchana bare record, saying, I saw the Ruah descend from the heaven, from the Shemayim, like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Ruah descend and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Ruah HaKodesh." That word baptize is very significant because I explained before, it is a complete immersion in it's a physical thing where we are submerged, right? But there's two kinds in the ones that I read before. The one is just as a dipping, right? Where we are dipped in the water. Well, we need to be immersed, completely immersed and fully have our lives changed where we are totally immersed in him and nothing else worries about it. We live for him. We give our lives to him for whatever he lead us and guide us into whatever. A lot of people have said, I will do whatever he wants me to do. I'll go wherever he wants me to go. Right? Yeah, that's what he wants us. Total surrender to him. Not my will, to do his will. Right? And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Yahweh. And again the next day, Yahuchana stood and two of his disciples, and looked upon Yahshua, and he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh." Right? So, there was twice in that book there, he told him in the book of Yahuchana. All right. I'm going to, just a moment here, then there's the book. Then the final feast, as we talked a little bit about, is Sukkot, right? It's the final ingathering. It is the ingathering of the last fruits, the nuts, the all the end of the season things, the end of the summer, right? It's a time that these two feasts we just talked about, they prepare us, right? The first one, the judgment, then the atonement. 5 days later is the marriage with the Lamb of Yahweh. So this is the time now of the Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, is preparing us. It is the time of the rule with him to the marriage. There are different parallels to do with this feast. They represent different things. But it is the time with Yahshua. It is an intimate time, a time of great rejoicing. They came to Jerusalem, and there was much rejoicing at this time. And there was a closeness, right? And they lived in booths at this time, in the time of Sukkot. They lived in these, they made all these little, around Jerusalem, they camped all around Jerusalem. And the supplies were all supplied. They took branches and all kinds of stuff to make their little shelters. Right. And so there's a significance of that. And then I talked about the last great day, right, is a time of going home, right? And then we have the winter months, right, where everything is quiet back to the new year. Right? Everything dies, and the ant has prepared in the summer months for the winter. Right? It's time of resting, in rejuvenating. This is the time when a tree, it goes dormant. Right? And it rejuvenates and waits for that spring. And when that spring comes, just like we should do, have that same fervor, and we do. The people are much more active in the spring. Very much more active. And very much a busy time. And so his feast fit in with the year. Right? They all fit in and they tie in with everything that they have significance, tremendous significance in the life of a Kedushim. They should have. And I thank Yahweh for this opportunity and bless Him for giving us an understanding, giving me an understanding of what the significance are. And thank Him for giving me boldness this time. And it's taken judgment. It took judgment. Now, that is the truth. I've to correct me. I get nervous. I have done that. And I was never someone I know is Yahweh, because I can't do it on my own. Because at school it was my biggest dread. I know I'm not in school now, but it was my biggest dread was to speak before anybody. I stumbled, I could not speak. But I know, and I thank Yahweh for giving me the strong confidence and the boldness to speak. It's not my own ability. And I boast in what He does. And acknowledge Him. And I thank Him. And I
the revelation of His truth, the simplicity, what a wonderful job. I bless you for that, brother. Very insightful. Had tremendous depth. And we can do all things through HaMashiach that gives us strength. And so they don't see what I get on you when no one's around, do they? Tell you to do things properly, do it right, take your time, and lay things out in a way that it can be understood. That is vitally important. Wisdom is the principal thing, but in all my getting it, understanding. I bless you always for that. Wonderful teaching. I want to say before we dismiss that, as Brother Allen, he took us through on until on Sukkoth and the last great day, but Yom Kippur, atonement, and that is what it is, will be got on sundown Sunday until sundown Monday of next week, all right? We're in the next week already of this week because this is the beginning of what we call the first day. So from sundown Sunday, the first day, until sundown Monday begins Yom Kippur, and we will fellowship and we will do things just a little different, but that's all right. It will be a blessing. I do want to say this before we dismiss. Brother Allen made a statement. It is very important that we understand Scripture and what Scripture implies. Now, I understood what he was saying, but I want to make clarity because there may be those that are listening may take it wrong. It is one thing, has Yahweh cast away Israel and supplanted Israel with what we call spiritual Israel? That is not scriptural, and it is not so in the book. What he has done with Israel, he has brought to birth and life of that which he has written in Israel from the beginning. He said, I would write this in the Levim of my people Israel, and the Ruah will bring it alive. So there is no such thing as spiritual, because Israel, the true identity of Israel, is spiritual. It is a spiritual house, and Yahweh has not cast away his people. He has not cast away. That's why Israel, all Israel shall be saved. He came unto the household of Israel. He came to bring Ephraim and Israel, Yehuda, and all the tribes into the one fold. And it has significant meaning, as he said, concerning the feast and the gathering, because that's what it's all about. And there were those that were Gentiles that did what was right according to Torah, and according to the strength of Torah, they did that. And what Torah is, or the power of the Torah, is that there's a life by the Ruah. The Torah is not insignificant. It is valuable. It is very important. So it is not that faith or emunah takes the Torah and make it of no effect. It doesn't make it of no effect. It gives strength and credence in the life of Torah, because every word that HaMashiach spoke, he said, it is Ruah and it is life. And the Torah is the living word of Yah. And there's life there, but the power of it unto us is by faith. And without faith and the witness of HaMashiach, the Torah means nothing. It has no value at all. So Israel shall be saved. He's going to save Israel. And all true Israel shall be saved. That's why we must be born again. Israel must be born again. That's just it. She must be born again. She is not going into the kingdom in this natural birth that she's in. In this natural mind that you have, Israel is not going into the kingdom. You must be born again. And all Israel must, and they will be saved. The things that we see happening unto Israel and all that are in what we call Palestine today, Israel, that is not Israel. That doesn't mean that's Israel because they're there. That's just the truth, brothers and sisters. Nowhere in Scripture where it tells us, and we have what we call this pseudo thing called Christianity, this evangelicals that tells you to love those that are in that nation today more. That's a lie from hell. It is something that has originated from the pits of darkness. It is not Scripture. It is not of Yahweh. And it is wrong. It is a Zionist state. It has been perpetuated by what we call Zionists, those that say they're going to restore Israel. And Yahweh has always used the mouth of the prophet, the Navi, to bring the reconstitution of Israel back. He has never used the Zionists, these liars, these perverts, these thieves, these dogs of hell. He has never used them. The wicked is his sword, but he's never used them. And we are afraid to say that, but I am not afraid to say it. I remember one time, and I will close with this. I remember old Kurt Higby said to me, hey, you know how he talk. First of all, he told me, if I need correction, you tell me. Well, Sister Robert said to me one day, she said, why are you so tough on him? Because the man needs correction, sister. She told that I was being tough. Well, the man said to me, said, Brother Robert, said, hey, if I need correction, correct me. I said, all right, boy. All right. You telling me to do that? Well, he made a statement to me, say, hey, God said, you know how he talked, to love the Jews, I have a special love them. I say, where in Scripture is that? Where in Scripture tells me a man of color to love him with a different, Yahweh is love.
So I can't love women because they say they're Yadim or Jew more than I love a brother or just anyone. I said, that's not in scripture, man. Where is that? Hey, that's what he told me. These men are not talking to Yahweh. They're talking to their own minds. And so when we say Zionism, it is just a people that have gone and established what we call Jerusalem, I mean Israel, by their own might. It is not by the mouth of a Shalishi of a prophet of Almighty Yah. Show me anywhere in scripture. When Yahweh brought Israel together, where it was done by the Pharisees or the scribes. It was done by the Nabi. So Israel is going to be saved. That's what Christianity teaches. Spiritual Israel and Yisrael. No! Just one. Just one. The house of Yah is one. Just one. No two, just one. And that is what, even as Brother Allen brought forth in the Moeds of Yahweh, the feast days, they were to bring the houses back together. The northern tribes and the southern tribes. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they were there from everywhere. Men from Pamphylia, Phrygia, all over. Proselytes. All over. Yahweh had scattered Israel. They were in every country. And so Pentecost was the time they had to come back to Jerusalem. They had to. So all Israel is going to be saved. Why? Because he has written the Torah and the love of Israel. And that is why the Ruah, that's why we must be born. Again, it's not based upon our genetics. Let me say this. I received a letter from this man. I don't know how he got my address. But he is an Anglo-Saxon Hebrew, what do you call himself? That what they believe is that all white folks are the true people. He writes me these letters. I mean, man, I say, do you know me? Have you really? Where did you find out about me from? I don't think you know me, my friend. He doesn't know me. So he's written me twice. I said, where did you hear about me? I don't even know whether the man heard of me. But of course, if he writes me back again, then I will certainly lay it out on him. May God bless you all. Be encouraged tonight. I'm encouraged. I am certainly encouraged. And I do bless Almighty Yah for his judgment, because it is the judgment that corrects us and leads us into the correct path and leads us into the way of life. So I bless him for that. Let us stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I enjoyed that, Brother Allen. Bless you. Brother Jerry there in Dallas, he said the last time that Brother Allen, he said, Pastor Roberts, he said, I know that's all right, but tell him I said, I enjoyed that. So we hope you're listening, Brother Jerry. He did a wonderful job this time. I told him what you said, but I still got on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you all this, my pastor? I remember one time we went to Chicago. We went to the Conrad Hilton. We had a little crowd, probably about big as this, that many people. Nah, it may not have been a little less. Anyway. And of course, back then I was just, you know, the way I would present things, it was not that I would discuss things from scripture. Amen. Come on. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yeah, I use that expression. And so the next morning he certainly rebuked me. He reproved me. What he was simply saying to me, you didn't even prepare yourself in your mind or your ruah. You get it right, brother. And I don't want you doing that again. Of course, he went up and down me, sideways, everywhere there is to go. And of course, I allowed my emotions, my youthful emotions to rise up. I was ticked off. No, I was the other one. I was hacked at him. Talk to me like that, man. Who do you think you are? And I'll forget, as a young man, I looked him square in the eyes. I said, Evangelist Hartsfield, please, whatever it takes, tell me. I'll do it. I won't fight you. And because I did that, that was my deliverance. That was my comfort. If I'd have fought against the man, I would have been a dumb jackass. I would have never learned anything at all. But because I was willing, this man had traveled the country and preached all over America. You think I knew more than he did? He was 40-something, 45. Close. Was he 45 when he first met? So the man is 70 years old now. So he had experience back then. I was a young 25-year-old young man. He reproved me hard, too. And then when he finished doing that, he laughed at me. But then it made my heart fat. It did. May Yah bless you. In all things, we thank you, Almighty Yahweh. We pray for your people. You bless them, pray. And keep us all. Give us all rest and comfort tonight in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. And don't forget, next Or Atonement is a time of fasting. From sundown Sunday to sundown Monday. And you won't die, okay? You're not going to die. May Yahweh bless you. Shalom.